The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and here we are back again. I told you it would go by quickly, and it did. Hope you had a good day. We're going to talk to George Filer first up tonight. George, of course, the editor-in-chief of Filer's Files, and if you look in the center column at Rents, you'll find the current two issues of Filer's Files, number 30 and number 31. Hello, George. How are you?
I'm fine. Beautiful day in New Jersey.
You said that last time.
Right. We're having good weather for a change.
Well, good for you. I'm glad.
How are you doing out there?
There's a big fire and a lot of smoke in the sky and kind of hot. It's not a beautiful day in New Jersey.
And are you in Oregon?
Somewhere around there.
Right, somewhere around there. Okay.
Now, we have two issues up there. The National UFO Center and Filer's Files. Now, this is interesting, and if you look at issue number 30, you'll find the top story is Aliens on the Moon. Now, we don't want to stop right there, because there's a lot more. Aliens on Mars? The number of pictures that we have of aliens or alien artifacts or contemporary structures on the moon is really quite unusual, very interesting. And I might say that what we have showing what appear to be obviously intelligent structures on Mars are prolific. There are tons of them. Just go to Joseph Skipper's site, marsanomalies.com. There are a bunch of them out there. And look at the pictures and honestly ask yourself, now, can this just be some Rorschach trick that my mind is playing on me? Or does nature build multiple story structures in perfect right angle geometry? And the answer to that is no. There's some amazing things on both the moon and Mars, and I'm glad to see you covered that in your opening. Well, it's kind of a little special feature.
Right. You probably don't remember, but I gave a talk at the MUFON conference in California.
Yeah, sure.
About Mars.
I bet you had a lot of good pictures.
When you give a talk, it's amazing. Different people will come up and talk to you, you know.
Yeah.
Five or six people.
And
several of the people who came up identified themselves as being in NASA. And basically said that I was right in my conclusions that there at least had been life on Mars. and that they basically they couldn't tell the public about it because it was classified information. But they were more than open about the fact that these things exist on Mars and the Moon, and I've talked to several astronauts as well, and I've indicated that. And that for whatever reason, the government has decided to, you know, keep all of this quiet. But now that China and India and other countries are going to the Moon, and the European Space Agency is going to Mars, that a lot of this information is coming out. They don't necessarily stand up, you know, and brief it in a conference or something, but they're showing a lot of pictures and images that certainly...
Oh, they're just amazing, some of them. And there's no possible way these are natural occurring geological formations. They're intelligently constructed. It's as plain as the nose on your face. And to have seen, as you have, and some of you listening have seen, before and after photographs that NASA has released, you can see things have been removed, you can see things have been smudged, you can see things have been distorted, and it's quite obvious. We also have had people come forward who have worked for NASA, and their job in the past was to cover up intelligent things on the Moon and on Mars, and they did it.
And I've talked to some of those people.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, in all fairness to them, and they're told that this is confidential information, that, you know, they sign contracts and so on. They don't want to reveal information and lose their jobs, but they are fairly open about it. More so than people realize. And then, actually, a lot of the pictures, even though they are smudged and so on, if you go and study for yourself to the NASA sites, and particularly the European Space Agency sites, you will see structures and so on that look much like Egypt. And it almost looks, frankly, like the Martians left Mars and came to Earth and built some of the same structures on Earth as they did on Mars. That there's even statues and different things that are very similar. There's some indication that Mars, either the there was like nuclear explosions on Mars, whether it was a war, you know, or that. There's a natural way for nuclear explosions to occur, but that may have also happened. But something happened in the past.
Something big happened, there's no doubt about it. I still do believe there's life on Mars today, whether it's a U.S. moon and Mars base combination, whether it's a Mars base, I don't know, whether there are still Martians there. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. They are obviously intelligent. Intelligent people can go underground. We can do it. So there's no reason why they couldn't.
Yeah, most people don't realize that even during the Second World War, most of the German Me-262 jet aircraft that were built underground. That it's not that difficult, particularly where there's caves and natural underground formations.
Exactly.
To build things.
Yeah,
and with Mars' history of being hit by various meteorites and so on, it made well obvious that it would be smart to go underground to prevent being hit by these meteorites and things. And we suspect that many of the structures are, in fact, are underground.
I don't see why they couldn't be. Why there couldn't be massive underground complexes, cities, whatever you want to call them. This just makes no sense why there shouldn't be. I mean, they had, unless they had no warning and something catastrophic happened where everybody died overnight, practically, they couldn't have made it. But if they had warning, they had notice. Like, there are so many underground structures here now, it's not even funny. You've heard the stories. It is alleged that coast to coast there are underground tunnels and bases and small cities all around these formerly United States, built by corporations, built by government money, which is our money. And that's not to be discounted. You can't do it. They've been digging in earnest since the early 80s. That's what I've been told.
Well, I was in some in the 70s.
Oh, you were. Now, you think I'm going to let you get away with that one?
Well, at least underground. I say underground, under mountains, that kind of thing. You know, in Turkey and United States and other places, that there's always, I don't know about always, but there has been underground structures for the military to, you know, prevent. When you think about World War III, that obviously so far hasn't occurred, but there was underground bases built to protect certain important people at the time of, you know, nuclear war and so on, to protect the president and so on. That those, I think that information is pretty much unclassified today.
I agree.
The Russians had the same thing. I mean,
yeah.
We're not stupid. You know, if you have a nuclear war, you're going to, one of the only safe places is underground.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I wouldn't want to live underground, frankly, for, you know, 5 or 10 years, 15 years, but maybe given the alternative of you're going to die unless you go underground, I'd be first in line. I, you know, a lot of people would. Survival instinct is, of course, the overriding instinct in all people. So there you go.
Right.
How deep did you go when you went underground? How deep was your complex that you went into?
Oh, just, you know, a few hundred feet or so. Didn't seem.
Wait a minute. Now that's, come on, that's a, that's a goodly distance, George. That's a. What was it like down there? Who was?
Well,
can you tell me or not?
They,
if you don't
they,
want.
They basically was, you'd go into the side of a mountain and then down a couple. It's hard to tell because you're in an elevator how far down you're going, you know. But a couple floors underneath, but the whole mountain is on top of you. You follow it. That and it, well, the walls and everything looked, you know, like stone, and the command posts and everything were.
Was it what?
Pretty much like you see in the movies. You know?
Mm-hmm. What branch? You know, what branch of the service was this?
Well, I was in the Air Force, and
so it would have been an Air Force.
I think
facility.
In Turkey it was, at least when we went there and visited, the troops came outside, and I think a lot of them were Army, and they did an inspection on the troops, and you know, they stood at attention and were inspected, and then we went inside to. You might see the, I don't know if you call them tunnels, but see the underground facilities.
And this is in Turkey.
Right.
Well, they look what they built over there and what they must have over here. That's remarkable. It's also remarkable, if you know anything at all about Saddam Hussein's underground complex in Baghdad, upon which sits the American embassy. And we are certainly making full use of his underground facilities as well for safety and other reasons. They were designed by a German who does underground buildings. And he spent a lot of money on that. So they're around.
Now, how, you know, you hear these stories of extensive underground tunnels. I question that. But one
well,
other
if,
thing.
If the tunnel, yes, I do too. But if the tunnel boring machines can make headway to the tune of 7 to 10 miles a day, why not? 10 days, right? 100 miles a month? 300 miles?
Yeah,
10 months?
I think that's
10 months coast to coast.
Too much, but.
Well, all right. To 2 years, coast to coast. 2 years from the Mississippi to the Pacific shore. In other words, they've had plenty of time, decades, to do this. And you don't hear anything about these underground tunnel boring machines anymore, unless you read Richard Sauder's books. Dr. Sauder, of course, the man who knows. This is a story that I think really needs to be given some more attention. We pay for it, so what the heck? I mean, we have a right to know.
Well, I happen to know a lady who won the New Jersey Best Teacher of the Year in about 1985 or so. In any case, she was taken on a trip to Egypt and shown the pyramids and all that kind of thing. And they took her underground, and it was entrance was guarded by men with machine guns and everything, but they took her and a bunch of other teachers with similar backgrounds from different states. And she went into tremendous underground tunnels, she said, and that it was evident that these tunnels must have been made thousands of years ago, but they were solid, you know, like granite rock, smooth on all four sides, beautiful, and they walked through them for extensive, you know, like miles and so on. And they said that that convinced her that, you know, extraterrestrials had come to Earth and had built these tunnels. But she felt, at least in her own belief system, that mankind could not have made them, particularly, you know, thousands of years ago.
Well, what else did she see when she was down there? And can we get this lady on the program?
Well, unfortunately, she passed away.
That would make it a little difficult.
Right. At a fairly young age. I don't know if it had anything to do with going in the tunnel.
How did she gain access to the tunnel, please?
Well, apparently they treated certain people to this knowledge. And I've found through the years that people with very high positions, you know, Prince Philip, or four-star generals, that kind of a position, you know, prime ministers and so on, are given access to some of the information. And then if you can ever get them alone, or, you know, friends of friends or relatives or whatever, they often will start talking about it and reveal, you know, the truth of the situation. And even most of the presidents have given hints along these lines that, you know, we're not alone in the universe.
Oh, of course not. I'll bet every president of every reasonably functional company, country, what's the difference, country has an underground facility.
Well, everyone. That only makes sense, you know. I
mean, of course. Not just for continuity of government, but for their own private safety. So, and that goes for corporations as well, executives, CEOs, COOs, who knows? And a lot of folks who can't afford the big money also have underground facilities. Why not?
Apparently, Norway has built extensive underground facilities.
Yeah.
Germany from the Second World War and so on. And I imagine they do in Japan as well.
I hope so. They're going to need it. This Abe character is a real case. He clearly wants trouble. He loves that rising sun flag. No question about that guy. He's a nutcase. What they're doing, of course, to our country with the radioactivity pouring out of Fukushima 24 hours a day is enough to stop anyone in his or her tracks. You say, well, wait a minute. What? Come on. It's that bad. Over 20 different species of sea life are in grave condition now, maybe in serious trouble of species collapse. I'm talking about pollock, herring, halibut, tuna, two kinds of salmon. And that's what we know about. Let's not even forget, of course, mussels, clams, starfish, and on land, one-third of the caribou in Alaska have gone in just 2 years, disappeared. Polar bears, we know, seals. Story I have up posted that some of the more advanced mammals on the West Coast showing brain damage-like activity, drooling. This is really grim, and we don't know because the government won't tell us. We do the best we can to report to you what's happening. But this is really crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's very scary, certainly.
And
I don't know if there's anything that can really be done to protect yourself.
There really are things. Well, there. It's not so much that it's, you go out and get wet, you're not going to die. But the cumulative effect of the radionuclides in the rain, in the soils, only build up. They do not decay and disintegrate quickly. And every year's crop picks up a little bit more, and every time somebody eats some of that crop, they get a little bit more. And in their bodies, it builds up as well. So you have the bioaccumulation time bomb, which is going to potentially kill a hell of a lot of people.
That's particularly difficult for children and babies.
Absolutely. Folks, please try vegan, organic only. If you can go and put a garden up, put a cover over it. Put a greenhouse up. Greenhouse, about $2,100. They're very nice. And put raised beds in there. Get some soil that's tested. Test the soil. And keep it protected. Raise as much of your own food as you can. Put HEPA filters in your house. Take BioAge. It will help chelate radionuclides right out of your body. You've heard Yoichi Shimatsu say that a number of times. I just sent him some. So, yes, there are things we can do. Curcumin is another essential supplement to take. Curcumin. C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N. It's a cousin of turmeric. So, please, think and understand that there are things you can do. Don't go around throwing your hands up saying, oh, my God, there's nothing we can do. The Alaska fishing boat captains, at least several of them, are in a state of career shock. They say they have never seen anything like the collapse of the wildlife in the ocean that they're seeing now. I mean, even the crabs are turning from orange to blue and white. I mean, it's really strange, really strange.
I guess I have talked to some fishermen that, I don't know exactly why, but... Fisherman captain called me, and he was very upset about this.
Somebody from Alaska?
Well, he was off the coast of Canada, I think.
All right. Well, can we talk about that in a minute, George? I don't want any names. Just
right.
Hold on. We'll come right back. This is a story, again, that transcends all stories. It's the biggest story of our lives and our children's lives and their children and their children and their children's lives. Fukushima Daiichi. Be right back with George Filer in just a minute. If you'd like a free copy of Filer's Files, write to George at Major, M-A-J-O-R, star, S-T-A-R, at Verizon.net. Tell him you heard him here and you'd like a free copy, free subscription, and you'll get it. Okay, back with George Filer, the editor-in-chief of Filer's Files, and we have the first latest two editions at the top of headlines at rents.com right now for you. By all means, do subscribe. It's a wonderful thing to get each week. If you've got time to zip through some fascinating material, you couldn't do any better than this. Just write to George again at Major, M-A-J-O-R, star, S-T-A-R, at Verizon.net. All right. Okay, now, this fishermen off the coast of Alaska, which is the Gulf of Alaska, Canada, Canadian coast, same thing. It's where the radiation goes. The North Pacific Current comes across. It actually gathers together from a north, the Kuroshio Current and another current from the south join, come across the Pacific Ocean as the North Pacific Current, split across, just about the British Columbia, Washington state line, and again, a portion goes up into Canada and into the Gulf of Alaska, where it goes round and around and around and stays there. Stays there. Doesn't go anywhere. And the rest of it goes down the Pacific coast and then ultimately swings all the way back westward across the Pacific and up across eastern Japan again and then proceeds to duplicate its path the first time. Now, what about this captain, George?
He basically was very upset, and I guess wanted to talk to somebody.
Okay, tell me more, please.
And that he saw this, lack of a better word, junk out in the ocean.
Oh, it's the tsunami debris, of course.
Right. And that it, he said you could basically walk on it if you had to.
And he called. This guy called you.
Stuff out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was also calling about the fact that he had also seen a UFO coming out of the water, and he thought that was significant. He didn't know if there was any tie-in together. You know.
No. Two different things.
If they were.
Unless they're on garbage detail and trying to clean up the ocean.
You know, they often are seen over volcanoes and various places on Earth.
Seen going down into volcanoes.
And the point being is that there's trouble in the ocean and they may be testing or whatever. But they seem to be way ahead of us on environmental factors, from what I can see. And that they're based on our contactees and abductees, they've always indicated a very keen interest in the environment, and that the message basically is that we're messing up the world. And, you're ruining.
Well,
it
that's
for
an
everybody.
Understatement.
You're ruining it for everybody.
Yeah,
aliens and other dimensions. You know, everyone, and that. I don't know if they will eventually help or not, but there's indications, at least in the past, that they had helped in Russia when there was a problem there. At least that UFOs were seen regularly. And actually, they've been seen fairly often over Fukushima. So I don't know if they can do anything, but I'm not sure that we can.
Well, it's a bit... Look, I do believe that if we are being visited by intelligent life forms, and I do believe we are, they could quite conceivably have the technology to resolve the issue of Fukushima. They haven't in 3.5 years. Will they? I don't know. It's too late for the North Pacific. I really believe that, George. I think it's too late. Too many animals are dying, clearly. The bioaccumulation is not going to go away because these radionuclides do not dissipate and just dissolve. They stay there forever, for all practical purposes. So we've got an enormous problem. If they can come in here and transmute radioactive nuclides into harmless elements, more power to them, bring them in, and let's roll out the red carpet. But up until this point in time, nothing. And yes, I know about the one over Chernobyl, that allegedly was involved with lessening the severity of the catastrophe there, but I don't know. I don't really know. I do know that BioAge superfood on rents is critically important. It was developed at Fukushima to help chelate radioactivity and radioactive poisoning out of the human body. That's very important. You really do need to have that. And then common sense tells you indoors, HEPA filter, leave your shoes outside on the porch if you can. If you've got a dog, you got problems. I don't know what to tell you to do about that. Get a vacuum cleaner that vents to the outside of your house. Beam makes the best. B-E-A-M, or I think it's B-E-A-M. Beam. And that's a regular vacuum cleaner is a disaster. All it does is blow the dust basically right out through the filtration bag back into the room. Oh, it captures 99% of it, but why do you want any percent of it going back into the room? Get a vacuum that vents to the outside. They have them. Called Central Vac. All right.
I'm not sure it's really being, the whole situation is being handled correctly.
Not being handled at all. TEPCO has made nothing but mistakes. They have been incompetent. They can't get this stupid ice wall to freeze. They didn't understand what they were dealing with to the extent that they would have been able to pull it off. They couldn't. They spent the money. It's not going to work. They're dumbasses. And they're complicit in genocide of millions of their own people and probably millions of Americans over time. Do remember, radioactive iodine was found in the milk of Vermont dairy cattle within 10 days of 3/11. That's how quickly it transited via the jet stream, got rained down on the dairy herds in their pastures, and they ate the grass with the radionuclides in it, and it showed up in their milk. Not good. Not good at all.
I tell people to stay out of the rain, or if they get in the rain, they go ahead and take a shower afterwards.
It wouldn't hurt, no. But the most important thing is get a garden, cover it. Okay? That's really, you don't want the rain in your garden. If you've got a well, boy, you're lucky. I don't know where you're going to get it. Tap water, probably safer than collecting rainwater. But you've got to think about these things. You've got to get a Geiger counter, and you've got to do some measuring. Establish benchmark lines right now so you know where you are, and compare them every week, every couple of weeks, to see where you're going. All right, we'll be right back. Hold on, George. Okay, and back with George Feiler. George, did the fishing boat captain say anything about the lack or scarcity of fish?
He said something about the fish had sores and stuff on them.
Yeah.
They didn't look healthy.
They have lesions. They have tumors. They're not healthy. It's radiation. And not one scientist has the guts to tell it like it is. They will not talk about it. They say acidification of the oceans. They say global warming. It's just all kinds of crap.
Well, I wonder if this is tied to aliens in some way.
No, I don't think so. An earthquake is not an alien event in the earthquake capital of the known universe. The building of a stupid design of a nuclear power plant. Oh, they're all stupid, on fill dirt right next to the ocean is beyond belief. So we're reaping what we've sown. Greed-driven stupidity. Dumber than dirt.
Not only that, I talked to an engineer who actually worked in power plant in Pennsylvania, and he said that having the generators at ground level, or even below, was really foolish in that the whole key to a nuclear power plant is to keep the water on top of the nuclear rod, and that once the generators stop, you have no power to, you know, move the water over the key part of the nuclear power plant.
That's right.
In other words, not only the fact that they underestimated the height of a tsunami that may occur, and et cetera, but he said the key to it was the generators, and that the generators were swamped, you know, and did not work. Therefore, there was no power, and therefore,
well,
the
rods
came open.
By the way, not only were they not tested regularly, they were cross-wired. They were not the right phase to work with the system that they were supposed to propel. So they wouldn't have worked anyhow.
Well, it could be.
It's the truth.
It shows a lot of poor design, et cetera, that the rest of the world might pay for. And you think about the Pacific Ocean feeds millions of people.
Well, it used to. In another couple of years, it won't be feeding anybody.
Well, the point is that if that's done away with as a source of food, we're looking at starvation of many people on Earth.
You got it. You got it.
It's a very serious situation, obviously. Not to mention the fact that a lot of fish and animals that most of us...
Over 20 species are already dying, George. Over 20 species. And that's in the water. That's not talking about what's dying on land.
Right.
We don't see birds out here anymore like we used to. They're not here. They're gone. Can't tell you where they went. Can't tell you if they're dead or alive. But they're gone. No songbirds, no red-winged blackbirds, no finches. We see one or two, but we used to see by them hundreds. No more.
Well, we have plenty here that we're feeding, but of course I'm on the East Coast, so we're a little better off.
Yeah.
One odd thing. I live in a fairly nice area, and we bought some cheaper bird food, and our birds wouldn't eat it, so we had to take it back and buy more expensive bird food so they would eat it.
Where did the bird food, the cheap bird food, come from? Could you find a country of origin?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think it was China.
Okay, well, parts of China have been irradiated.
Oh, maybe the birds are smart about it.
The birds are very smart about it. So are the species in the ocean, but they can't escape it. It's their medium. It's like a black cup of coffee when you pour cream in it and stir it up. It's been changed.
Right.
So I am so disgusted. I don't have words. I'm ashamed of the species, of what we're doing. I don't know.
Also, the news media doesn't even talk
It's not
about
news. George, it's... Okay. Dear friend, it's not news. It's product. And it is constructed and purveyed to the imbeciles who stare at it thinking they're being informed by corporations and by governments. It's not real news. It's carefully constructed and managed product. That's what we all need to keep in mind, all of us.
Well, I think we get a lot better information on the Internet and some other countries.
Well, I go to overseas sources for my news, much of it. Yep, no doubt. None.
You see, we really run out of words. It is a catastrophe. It is a cataclysm. It is a calamity. Notice how those three words all start with C, the letter C.
Right.
Interesting. It is the most outrageously horrible thing that a humankind has ever done to this planet. We have forfeited our right to be the custodians of this planet. That's my opinion.
We don't deserve it. We don't have the leadership. We cannot fight off the darkness or the evil. You don't have to be religious to see the simple fact that what's running this country and this world is not moral. It's not spiritual. It is as evil as it gets. Sorry to be so upbeat.
Right. Well, we have to look for ways to solve the problem. I don't know if there is any way. A lot more emphasis has to be put on, obviously. And I have seen studies that say, well, it won't hurt that the ocean's so big, et cetera, that it'll dissolve, et cetera. But apparently it's not.
Yeah. Well, time will tell. We'll find out. We'll find out. I don't know. Okay, sighting of the week. You got a good one for us.
Well, we have plenty of sightings. There are 750 sightings in the United States in July, and a heck of a lot in other countries, India, China, UK, Australia, and so on. There's a lot of good ones. And got some good pictures from well, St. Paul, Minnesota, and from Horn Pain, Canada, just on July 23rd of a triangular-shaped craft over Canada and kind of a donut over
Now, the triangular-shaped craft might be some of our, in some cases, some of our advanced cloned, copied technology. However, that said, the very act of them flying over at 150 feet populated areas, I mean densely populated areas, is beyond stupid. There are too many hunters, too many rifles, too many potentials for a problem. And if one of those came down, that's the end of a 30 or 40 year cover-up and $1 trillion or more spent? Who knows? I don't think they'd risk it. That's my human logic at work.
Any thoughts? Fly surprisingly low. I mean, you can look at the picture, and they're just a few feet above the trees.
Correct.
And frequently we see them, sounds funny, but taking water out of the lakes.
That's been reported by everybody from Ingo Swann and others forward.
Yep. Right.
Yep. They either
Ingo Swann was a friend of mine that slept here at my house several times.
Yeah, wonderful guy.
He was quite a character.
Yeah.
But he
told you the story of what he saw, I'm sure.
Right, and that he also was working on seeing what was on the moon, and he and some other fellows looked at the moon with remote viewing, and they saw what appeared to be mining going on there with dark-colored minerals.
Right.
And he wrote a book about it, and I gave him some information that I had on the moon. But he was a wonderful fellow that, I don't know if he told you that story where he was taken by the government up into Alaska, up to a lake on a mountain.
Yep. And he climbed up over the edge and looked down at the lake, and what did he see?
Well, he explained to me like a basketball flew in from space and then opened up. It was like nanotechnology, opened up into this huge spaceship, took what appeared to be water out of the lake, folded back up into a small craft, and off into space. Like a nanotechnology, meaning that they could make themselves very small and comparatively light and go through space at a tremendous amount of speed.
Yeah, that's what he told me. Some of them seem to swirl the water up in like a vortex and take it on board and then spit it back out, like they've taken something like hydrogen maybe, who knows, out of it. And others will drop a tube-like into the water and take it up, and then they reel the tube up and they're gone. It's a very unusual phenomenon. George, thank you for being here. Anything you want to add? Go ahead.
Well, I was just mentioning that the fishermen were saying, I don't know why, but a lot of fishermen have called me. Maybe I'm in the group, so to speak, that they know about me. But in any case, they were saying that they think they were taking fish as well as water.
Wouldn't be surprised. Okay. All right, my friend. Take care. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night, George. And we'll be back.